Welcome to Grace Believers Bible Study here in Milton, Florida. It's a wonderful thing to hear the scriptures over and over and over. Do you get tired of reading, say, Paul's epistles?
No.
Just start all over and read them again, and you're going to get something else out of it. It's great. You know, would you bow your heads in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we come to you today and just praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ. You're the one who gave us God. You gave us the penalty for sin, and you give us the payment for sin. All we have to do is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the ransom, who is the substitute, the just for the unjust. We just praise you and thank you so much. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And that's what it's all about. A ransoming substitute that died for me. And I know he died for each individual person in this room and in the entire world. It's great. But I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 24. Verse 35. Because I want to talk about events recorded in God's Word. What is God's Word? It's the Holy King James Bible. There is no other holy words of God. If there was, they'd be in this book. Is that not so? You know, there's all kind of lost books of the Bible. And I'm not doubting that some of that information is true. But it's not the Holy Word of God. If it would be, it would be in this Holy King James Bible. Matthew 24:35 says, Heaven and earth, Jesus said this, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That means the words that God spoke, we know God is a spirit, we worship Him in spirit and in truth, but we know who the Word is, and we're going to get that in a minute, but it's Jesus Christ spoke these words, they will never ever pass away. That's what it says. I absolutely believe it. But now see, we're talking about words. Words make up files. Files make up records. What do you think epistles are letters? They're just files. That's right. You know, we think about files today as being divorce decrees. They're files somewhere. Land documents, contract for deeds, divorces, trust funds, they're all records of some kind. And they're filed away, usually down at the county office. And I remember back, and this happened, oh my God, I believe in the 60s, where St. Louis used to keep all the military records when people got discharged. And St. Louis caught on fire, burned a majority of the military records, people who have veterans who had been discharged. And these guys went later to try to find some medical benefits or to prove something out of their medical records or personnel records, and they were gone. They were burned. But you know what? The record that's in this book, this King James Bible, will never be burned up. It won't be lost. You haven't got to worry about it being wrong like you do so many people today. And I find that the closer we're getting into the end times, and that's where we're at, the more mistakes that are being made. And we've got more learning, should I say, in today's society with computers, little chips. My phone is stronger than my little phone that I use here with this Android system is stronger than the computer that put people on the moon. Little thing like that. So what intelligence is coming up, but it's the dumbing down of the world is what's happening with us. So you would think our records would be safe. But I backed something up on my computer and I loaded Windows 7 on it. Guess what? I had it in three places as a backup so I could reinstall it after I loaded Windows 7. Guess what? Can't install it. So I lost everything. Three backups. All my records was gone. Oh, man, that was something else. But my whole emphasis and whole point is there's not a jot or tittle that's going to be removed from this King James Bible. Now, if you would, go over to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also, we thank God without ceasing. See, what was happening is the Christians at Thessalonica that were commended by the Apostle Paul. And he says to them, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you have heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. In truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The truths of the word of God are divinely revealed, divinely inspired, and divinely preserved. You got to understand all three of those. Inspired, preserved, revealed. The word of God is the final authority. You know, we all go about wanting to do things because it pleases us. It's just like something we brought out in the first service. I've been there, and sometimes I'm still there, hopefully trying to get out of it. I want to, and the word is not correct when I say force. I want things to go my way when I'm talking to people about salvation. How come they can't see it? Come on, let me tell you everything I know about the Bible and you'll believe it. Just give me the opportunity. But they won't. Why won't they?
God gives the increase.
God giveth the increase. That's why I told Richard, I said, hey, you just do what you got to do. Don't try to force anything. Don't try to make nothing happen. You just preach the gospel. And let somebody come by and order it. But the Holy Spirit's got to do something. What? It's got to convict you of your sinfulness. Then, once you see that, and you trust the cross, something we always draw, Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, that He was crucified, and He was buried, and He's resurrected on the third day for your personal justification. Once you trust that right there, then what happens? Yes, joy overcomes you. You can't help it. But the Holy Spirit has to convince you at that point in time that you are an adopted child of God and that you are as righteous as God Himself. But what, people can't see that? When I tell people that, I know they think I'm a nutcase. You can just hear it inside them. They're thinking, he just said he was as righteous as God. Well, I am. Are you?
Yep.
If you're not, you've got a problem. It means you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all it means. Now, there's three things involved here. God, the Creator. Mankind, which is you and I. And there's Jesus Christ, our Savior. I was talking to Candy just a minute ago. We was talking about her mom. And I said, hey, approach it like this. Because she says, I believe she's saved. But confused. Approach it with the attitude that what you're going to do is share the gospel. Dave gave you some great advice. Have a little note if you don't know already. Where you want to start in the simplicity of the finished work of the cross. Write it down in the front of your Bible. Put it on a piece of paper. Put it on an index card. Put a bunch of them in your wallet or whatever, in your pocket. And as you go and you're doing good things or whatever, or just witnessing, if you can't remember, pull it out right in front of the person. Say, this is what I believe and this is what I want to tell you here after you tell them. It's not a hard thing. He didn't complicate this. If he hadn't, I wouldn't have never got it, Jim. I wouldn't have never, ever got it. But what we want to do is consider a record, our record. You were born in sin. You need a redeemer. You need a ransom to pay for your sins. You can't pay for it. Or could you? No. There's two places, one of two places that you're going to wind up. Let's just face it. Purgatory is not a choice. You're going to be either living in eternal condemnation in the lake of fire for eternity. That's a given. As you stand right here or sit right here right now, that's where you're headed if you're lost. I can't do anything about it except show you the gospel of the grace of God. And the Holy Spirit does the convicting and convincing. Or you can trust what God provided for you, which was a Savior, a substitute to die for you. God does not send anybody to hell. He made the penalty for sin, which is what? Death. And He also provided the payment for sin. Now, what's your part in this? Trusting the gospel. You either choose to go to hell, or you choose to go to heaven and be with Jesus Christ and God Almighty indefinitely. It's a choice. It's a simple choice. In myself, I knew, oh, believe me, I knew I was going to hell. There was no if, and, buts about it. And who hasn't heard in Milton, Florida? Who hasn't heard of Jesus Christ? Do you know anybody? It's not like the Apostle Paul, and there was all kind of Gnostics then, Epicurean. They're there today. People had heard of God. They just didn't believe. The Jews, of course, did not believe that Jesus Christ was their Messiah. It's the same way today. He's not our Messiah because the Jews have diminished and are fallen and become lo am I, as according to Hosea chapter 1. We're all under sin. But God, again, has provided a substitute and a payment for that sin. For what? What does it say in Romans 5:12? For by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men. Might not be a complete quote, but mankind was created by God. I'm going to read it. It's Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Last week, Joe talked about the Trinity. That's our image. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Or God the Holy Ghost, if that's what you prefer. After our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish and of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Both. So both was created. In Genesis chapter 7, talks about creating man. Then he talks about, I believe in Genesis 21, something like that, he talks about creating Eve as he put Adam to sleep. But he did that for his glory. He created mankind for his glory. And what did mankind do? They rejected him. They were disobedient. Totally. And you know what? It ain't changed. We're disobedient to God the Father. He created each and every one of Adam and Eve, which is two. And then we were all born. We weren't created, were we? But are we created if you're saved now? Yeah. You're created a new creature in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I'm a new creature in Christ. Why do I believe that? Because the Bible said that. If you can't believe the Bible, then you're lost. If you don't trust the gospel, you don't believe the Bible, then you're still lost. You can't save yourself. No matter how intelligent and what kind of degrees you've got placed behind your name, you can't save yourself if you're the President of the United States. You can't save yourself if you've been a grave. You just can't save yourself. You need the just man to die for the unjust. And that's exactly what happened in A.D. 33. When all sin and sins were placed upon Jesus Christ. And we're going to get to that right there. In Colossians, go with me over there to chapter 3. Mankind is to glorify God in all His words and all His deeds. Do you glorify God in all your words and all your deeds? Can anybody tell me that you do? All? No. You don't glorify God in all your words and all your deeds. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, the Apostle Paul writes, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What did it say? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Whenever you're out there deliberately sinning, and we do that, I do that, I know, but you do that too. Whatever you're doing, are you doing it in the name of the Lord? I doubt it. He wouldn't be too pleased with some of the things that I do. Believe me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, would you please? Verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, whenever you sit down there and you had a little too much Miller Lite, are you doing that in the glory in the name of the Lord, in the glory of the Lord? Now, I didn't condemn drinking. There's nothing wrong with drinking. But do you want to be drunk? Is that what it is? Is that glorifying God? No. I don't drink anymore, but I don't care who drinks. There's not a thing wrong with it. But that's not glorifying the Lord whenever you're staggering around, you fall, and you get arrested and all that kind of thing. What kind of a witness is that to another unsaved person who may have wanted to trust Christ because you told them you were saved? Now they're seeing you laying in the gutter. That's not a good example that Dave was talking about. I done been there, so I done been on both sides of it. It's not a good feeling to be in the gutter. Just not. You know, and sometimes, there's no excuse, but sometimes, in my case, when I was laying in that gutter doing all those things, I knew it was wrong and did it anyway. Mm-mm. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a Savior that would forgive me of all the things that I've ever done. You know, it's just like it says in James, if you've offended in one, you've offended them all. Talking about the commandments. Well, I broke one. I mean, I'm guilty of them all, isn't it? Is that not what the Scripture says? But you've got people out here who believe they are somebody because they've never killed anybody. They never did this and this and this. But you know, they'll cheat on their taxes. They'll lie to you. A little white lie won't hurt, would it? Of course it will. You've offended it all. Mankind has failed the Creator, God. And he sinned against God. How about going to Isaiah 59? We talked about sin separated you in the Garden of Eden by what Adam and Eve did. It separated you from the fellowship and the communion with God. You have no fellowship and no communion with God until you have been, as Daddy put it earlier, reconciled by the blood of Christ. That's it. Reconciled by the blood of Christ. That Christ was crucified in your behalf, that He was buried, and He was raised again from the dead. But that ain't enough. It's for your justification. It's got to be for your justification. We now have our atonement, the Scripture says. We're not waiting for it. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, I believe it says, we are complete in Christ. I'm not missing anything. The only thing I'm waiting for is the new body. I've been thinking about the new body a lot. I don't have an answer for this. I'm going to tell you what I've been thinking about. Little baby dies 2 years old. He's going to get a new body or she's going to get a new body. Well, he's in Christ. He's not to the age that he can make a determination. And I say he is a person, good or bad. Couldn't make the decision whether to trust Christ or not. God takes care of that little individual. But what kind of a body is he going to wind up with? I'm going to tell you what I think. I've been struggling with this. It's not a big deal. I'm going to be there with the Lord no matter what. But, you know, as a human being, we want to think about certain things. I want to know about the deep things of God. I believe that little one is going to have the body. And it says in Luke 24, verse 38, 39. He's going to have a body without blood. It's going to have bones. And it's going to have flesh. And it's going to look like the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are in the image of Christ. We may be all in the same body. I don't know that. You ever think about that? You're bound to have thought about it. What body we're going to have when this old corruptible body is changed, like into His glorious body. That leads me to believe if it's like His glorious body, it's not just flesh and bones, it's like Him in His image. Because in Romans chapter 8, it says we're created in the image of God. Man, I'm telling you. Then, in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. But your iniquities, I'm making an application here. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. What does that tell me? Well, it tells me the fellowship was gone. The communion was gone, and it happened in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Whenever God told Adam, says, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day that you do, therefore you will surely die. And that's a paraphrase. And he did. But here's, look at it, what it says. And your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. This tells me something He will not hear. That a person that has not been reconciled unto God can pray till hell freezes over. God will not hear because there is no communication. You're sinful. He's God. He's just. And it falls on deaf ears. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in Acts chapter 16, 31. Trust what? The gospel. As Paul and Silas explained that to the Philippian jailer. Then God will hear you. But without that, I have prayed before I got saved, and I prayed and I prayed, and nothing ever took place. He didn't say no. He didn't say yes. He just, it fell on deaf ears. Because I wasn't a child of his. But see, it's like anybody that's got children in here, whatever, it's just like the little boy Leland there. When he asks, even as small as he is, or your child asks you, hey, Daddy or Mom, can I have that? Whatever that is, little fire truck or whatever, the little dog. And you make a decision. Why? Because that's your child. As you are a child of God, God will hear you once you've been reconciled back together. And He will give you an answer. But the Scriptures tell us we don't know what to pray for in the first place. So He's liable to tell you, no, son, you can't have that. No, daughter, you can't have that. As you would tell your child, no, that's not good for you. That's a gun over there. That's a sharp knife. You can, don't run out in the streets. That's what takes place with God. If you're not a child of His, He doesn't hear. And that's my whole point. We know the wages of sin is death. Man, I worked hard at it. I worked hard at it. But the wages of sin is death. Where's the end of death at?
Hell.
Exactly. Eternally separated from God in the lake of fire. Forever. Infinite time. You know, with God there is no time. Not as we have time. There's something called eternal suffering. We don't even have a clue of how bad that is. Now Luke, what is it, 16? The rich man and Lazarus. That gives us a clue of hell, the underworld. That's not the lake of fire, guys. That's just the torment that you're going to have when you die if you don't go to sleep in the Lord. You have a never-dying soul. Like I said earlier, you're going to spend your life in eternal condemnation or eternal life, eternal bliss for eternity. And you're going to be with God. Something that no one in this room can do. Something that I can't do. Mankind cannot undo their sin no matter how hard they try and how many times you apologize for it and how sorrowful you are. You can't take it back. Believe me, you treat your wife bad, you're never going to forgive. She's never going to let you forgive. Or vice versa. We're that way. We can't take it back. We'd love to, after it's brought to our attention and we got caught at it. We wouldn't think about taking it back unless we got caught, would we? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Yes, somebody knows. The Father knows. And if you're a saved child of God, you've got a conscience. It's going to bother you. But don't go running out if you're saved and ask for forgiveness. Because that took place in AD 33. You can say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm a child of God, but I'm so sorry that I did that. But don't be asking for forgiveness and crucify the Lord Jesus all over again. Man, too many people in this world want to do that. Mankind needs someone to pay his debt, don't they? There's a lot of people who've heard of Jesus don't know that He died on the cross to pay for their sins. They've heard the name. I don't know a soul in this county here or this state that has never heard Jesus. Could there be any? Well, I guess there could be, but I seriously doubt it. The news media is just too awesome. And as Dave said, this is the Bible Belt. Man, you just go out and you turn your head down on the beach and somebody's already got you slapped in judgment because you fleshly looked at that woman walking around down there. What? I was looking at the ship right past her. Probably not. God, the Creator. God, the Judge. You were judged right here, guys, in AD 33. And you were found guilty. That's a divine judgment. But God knew that from where? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Before that first grain of sand was ever spoken into existence, God knew you from before the foundation of the world. He knew you were going to be born. He knew you were going to trust Christ. Look back to the cross for His what? Ransoming substitute. His payment for you, for your sin. Why? It's because of His mercy and His grace that He had upon you. Something you don't deserve. You deserve hell. And so do I. Through the mercy and the grace of God, He decided to save us people. When I talk about us people, I'm talking about the Ephesians and Colossians, those without Christ, I mean those without God, and without hope in the world in Ephesians chapter 2. This wasn't like the Greeks. We were without hope and without God in the world. So, if God was the Creator, and God was the Judge, God is also the Paroler. He paroled. Or pardon me, I'm sorry. Pardon me. Pardon as if it never, ever happened. You know, when people will look at you and they'll judge you and me, when I say you, I'm talking about myself. What they do, they judge what they see. I'll just judge old Joseph Savelli. I saw him somewhere the other day and he was doing something he shouldn't have done. How can he be saved? How can Mary Lou be saved? Really? How can they be saved? They're sinful people. I would tell you the majority of so-called Christians, that's what they believe. What they see. They don't know that the moment that you trust Jesus Christ, you're as righteous as God. God looks down from above and He says, all I see is a glorified George, a glorified Donna. That's all He sees. He does not see you in your sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore there is now what? No. You know, condemnation to them that are in Christ. Are you in Christ? Make up your mind to find out if you're in Christ. And if you're not, get yourself in Christ. How do you get in Christ? Trusting the simplicity of the gospel. The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how simple it is, guys. In John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. Well, that was somewhere over here. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. We know the Word, with a capital W, is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That says enough, doesn't it? You don't even have to go any further. That just tells you Jesus and God are one. In unity with the Holy Spirit. Unity. Mankind. is so sinfully depraved and sinful and guilty. Do you ever feel guilty when you do something contrary to what your conscience tells you is right? Oh, I do. And you know, sometimes I keep on doing it. And it will eat at you. Where's the joy and the peace and the love of God? That's what constraineth us. The love and the joy and peace pushed on the side whenever you start acting on your own. Put your trust in Jesus. Live by what He said. Because you're in Christ. Christ is in us. We want to do it as Frank Sinatra said. I did it my way. Love that song. But you know what? You can't apply that to this. I did it God's way. That's why I'm saved. But I tried to do it my way. It didn't work. I was known, as the psalm says, the highway to hell. I actually like the song. I don't like the lyrics. Know what I'm saying? I was on that highway. Are you on that highway to hell? Now, I'm going to tell you, you are if you haven't trusted this. I'm telling you, unmitigated, trust this. Don't add nothing to this. There's too many so-called Christians have been taught, since they were a little tyke or a little miss, that this plus something will get you saved. You trust this. Go get water baptized. Plus this. Go out and do good works, as Dave said. Plus this. You know what? That's called another gospel in Galatians. Chapter 1, verse 7, 8, 9. Another gospel. And I said this last week. It's on my mind. I just can't stand not saying it again. If any man preach any other gospel, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what Paul preached, let him be accursed. And that's adding anything to this. You want to be water baptized? You think you've got to be for salvation? Guess what? You're going to wind up in hell. Well, God, boy, that's very harsh. I trust this, but Moses was baptized, and I got to do that, or I'm not saved. Or she ain't. You don't worry about your mom and dad if they're already dead. They ain't nothing you can do. I had a preacher call me yesterday. He said, you know, he's a grace preacher. Used to be a Baptist preacher until he found the truth on his own. He sits in my class up in Alabama. And the thing is, he called me up. He said, you know, I'm troubled about my dad. I said, and I called his name, I said, don't worry about your dad. You just trust in what you continue to preach. You can't worry about your dad. I can't worry about mine. I believe my daddy was saved, but I'm not convinced 100%. I wouldn't switch my salvation with my daddy's salvation, because I don't know about him. But I know about me. Do you know about you? Do you know about your daddy? Don't matter about him if he's dead and gone. It don't matter about your children. The thing is, think about yourself. I was wrong all those years that I was taught from a little bitty boy all the way up. I did what religion told me to do. And I found out I was going to hell by doing what they told me to do. I walked the aisle. Well, ain't that what you're supposed to do? Aren't you supposed to just cry and be emotional? Ain't it how it feels to you? No! It's not how you feel about the Scriptures. It's what the Scripture says and what you believe and trust the Scriptures mean. Now, we talk about rightly dividing the Word of Truth all the time. Now, you do not have to know how to rightly divide the Word of Truth to be saved. You don't have to know anything. You don't even have to have a Bible. You just got to trust that Christ died on that cross for you, was buried, resurrected from the dead on the third day. You ain't got to know that. But He's resurrected for your justification to pay your sin penalty that God provided for you. doesn't want you to go to hell. He loves you. He loved you when you were lost. And He loves you now. He can commune with you. He can have fellowship with you now. That's all you've got to know. But you're a babe in Christ when this happens. There's millions of people, I'm going to say that, I might have stretched that, that are saved. I don't even believe that. I don't believe millions of people are saved. I think very few people are saved. You look around in here. This is not all at Baptist. This is not Hickory Hammock down here. This is not Milton, whatever that First Baptist is downtown here. We don't preach to glorify a man. I'm not up here for me. The fact of it is, I was called to do the work of the Lord. And I plan on doing it. My Lord said, you might preach the gospel better than me, but you ain't going to preach a better gospel. And that's a fact. You ain't got to be eloquent, speaker, or anything else. Just get the job done. But I don't believe there's a lot of people saved. There's a lot of lost believers. A lot of lost believers. But you know a lost believer? That word lost, that right there is your ticket to hell. You can believe in Jesus and still bust hell wide open. But, I said you were a babe in Christ if you've trusted this. You don't have to know anything else. But, if you want to understand the Scriptures, the deeper things of God, do you want to share more than the gospel? Do you want to be a living, walking example of what Christ would have you to do? Then you need to trust this. Trust that. And, the biggest part, learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. If you don't, you're going to be confused. You're going to read something for one dispensation that applies to another dispensation. This dispensation is not what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John taught, that Peter taught, not even what Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry taught. Well, I want to follow Jesus. Well, if you want to follow Jesus, you open up to Romans and read through Philemon and you follow the risen Savior. You do not, as Paul says, you do not follow Christ any longer in the flesh. He does not have an earthly ministry any longer as He did. But that's where the denominational systems are at. They're preaching, what would Jesus do? They're walking their life for Jesus. Repent and be baptized for remission of sins. That was true, and it will be again when the rapture takes place into the tribulation. But it's not so now. Don't be led astray. There's too many contradictions in the Bible. Did I say that right? Mm-hmm. But there isn't any if you rightly divide the word of truth. Gosh, praise God that I saw Brother Moore. I'd still be walking around. I probably didn't be dead. I'd be lost because I couldn't find the truth. If what I'm telling you goes against what you were raised with, try to prove me wrong. I welcome the opportunity. And by doing so, you know, that's what I did. I tried to prove Brother Moore wrong. It made me read the entire book. Now, just reading the Bible don't help you none. Because if you don't know what it says and who it says it and where it says it, you're still lost. You've got to see what's written directly unto you. Not what was written to Noah. Noah find. What did he do? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, is that the same thing? But you know what it gives me is denominational systems. They pull and choose what they want to believe. How come they all preach Noah? Why don't we all go out and build an ark and get in it and be saved from the wrath? That don't get it. Why don't we sacrifice some animals in here? Next week, George, you bring a calf. You bring the firstborn of a lamb, Richard. We'll just slit its throat. We'll take the blood and pour that. That's what the Bible said, isn't it? How come we don't do that? Do we want to going to do what the Scripture says? I said it. It said it. If you don't believe it, you go back to Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and see what it says. But no. So, denominational systems don't preach that. Denominational systems don't preach, let's build an ark. They preach a little Peter, and they put a little Paul for grace, season it, and they pour it out, and they lie to you. Oh, God, you used a strong word. Oh, you're going to make the whole world mad. Yeah, I hope I do. Now, the thing is, sometimes you can use strong words like that, but a lot of times, it's the pastors, preachers, and teachers who are ignorant of the Word of God. They would love to teach the truth, I think. Some of them sincerely would. They just don't know it. But you've got so many people interested in their own pocketbook and their own retirement. They won't tell you the truth. I ain't got to worry about that. I can tell you the truth. Let the chips fall where they may. I don't care if I'm persecuted with any kind of afflictions. I don't want no health problems. But, just like I had that lady ask me up there at Hop Saturday night, and I think it was last Tuesday. Must have been. I got a question. I said, what is it? She said, you know, is these afflictions, you know, these things that's happened to me, is that because of sin? She has ailments now. You know, that was true at one time. But just because you don't obey the Lord, God's not going to strike you dead. He's not going to give you the flu. He ain't going to give you cancer because you disobeyed Him. But there was a time, I remember Ananias and Sapphira. God struck them dead because they lied to the Holy Spirit. It took place. It was real. But that ain't true in this dispensation. Why don't people believe what the Apostle Paul said? Because in Romans 11:13 he says, I am an apostle to the Gentiles, and I magnify mine office. His job was to show the mystery to the world. He was the chief, as Richard said earlier. He was a blasphemer. Couldn't be saved any other way. And God chose the chiefest of sinners to be the example and the first in the body of Christ. And if it goes against what you've been taught, check the Scriptures out to see if I'm telling you the truth. Then you can straighten me up if I'm not. I welcome the opportunity. And that way, you can get it right, and I'll tell everybody in the whole world I was wrong. I don't mind it. Because I've got to be right, or I don't want to be up here. Now, let me see where I'm at. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Yes, I'm going outside of Romans through Philemon to make application. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. You know, God is a spirit. We worship Him in spirit and truth. But Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. If you don't believe it, just read John chapter 1, verse 14. But here it says in verse 9 of Hebrews 2, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Now listen to this part. That He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. We're talking about back to Adam. Amen. And if you don't believe that, you read Romans chapter 3 that David talked about, verse 25. He was the propitiation for past sins all the way back to Adam. Not as religion teaches that all your past sins are taken care of, but you're responsible for the ones tomorrow. No, He died for your past, your present, and your future sins until the day you die. But He died for all mankind of all ages. Ain't that great? That's wonderful. What's the purpose of judgment? You have to be judged so you can be freed. Released from the penalty of sin. You had to be judged and found guilty to allow a holy God to fellowship with you. I think back to Romans chapter 8, starting around verse 14. Where I can cry, Abba, Father, and He hears me. Wow. Sometimes our earthly fathers doesn't hear us. But I guarantee you, God hears you. But if you're lost in here, He doesn't hear you. Why not trust Christ? Why not trust Christ? Man. In Romans chapter, I want to read you a couple of these because I'm getting close. I'm going to give you the references. Romans 14, 23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Without faith, in Hebrews 11, 6, it is impossible to please Him. Have you got the faith? Now, we all got a different measure of faith. As this day was talking about in the body of Christ, we all have our different gifts. We need to utilize those gifts. But the faith, we all have a different measure. And we have faith in the faith of Christ. That's what saves. That's what saves. But in 1 John 3, it talks about, for sin is the transgression of the law. But do you know what? You have never, ever been under the law. Boy, that's hard to swallow because you've always been taught. You're breaking the Ten Commandments. Well, they don't mention the other 603. There's 613 ordinances and commandments. What, Joseph? Proverbs chapter 24, verse 9 says, listen to this. Everybody's guilty. This didn't change because we came into a different dispensation. The thought of foolishness is sin. The thought of it is a sin. Can you help a thought? You can work on it, but you can't stop it. And we know in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There ain't no getting around it. Sinful man needs a Savior. We're to love our neighbors with all of our heart. But we don't. Do you even know who your neighbors are? Think about it. Love our neighbors with all our hearts. You don't do it. And neither do I. In everything, we're to give thanks. But we don't do it. Just think of the things we don't do. Why don't we do that? Why don't we love our neighbors and give thanks and everything? It's because we're sinners. We're sinners. We walk, saved people, walk in the Spirit. But I still see the flesh. And that's where sin is at, that other people judge us upon. Not what God judges upon. Because if you're saved in here, as I said earlier, God sees nothing but glorified people. So, I think what I'm going to do is stop right here. We'll pick up sometimes a little bit later. What, Jim?
Okay. I'm sorry.
But I want you to see that without this, the provision of a just man. Do you know Jesus Christ came from heaven a rich man? even though he came and was born of the Virgin Mary, he came rich. And he became poor for you, that we may become rich in Christ. Not prosperity messages, not money, but rich. And God didn't just get to this point of the cross or right before and say, you know, I think that I need to do something for these guys that's going to be in this dispensation here. I think I'll change my mind. He knew the plan and purpose before the foundation of the world. Everything's been figured out by God. I have a guy at Alp, he keeps asking me, well, why do I have to go through this? I wish I'd have died as a baby when I was sinless. Come on, man.
It is what it is.
And I'm going to tell you, the only purpose that any of us are still alive, if you're lost in here today, God is long-suffering. For God will have all men to be saved. But He's not going to preordain that. He knows through His foreknowledge whether you will trust Christ or whether you won't. He's not going to force you to, quote, trust in His sacrifice for you. He's not going to force you into it. And we're to pray, but we're not like the Calvinists who think we've got to come unto God before we're so depraved that we can't go to God. Oh, we can. We've got a direct link with it called the Holy Spirit that convicts us of our sinfulness. That's a wonderful thing. God's plan is perfect. Death was overcame at Calvary when the resurrection took place. Satan's on his way out. We're in the end times right now. And as Jim said earlier, we're getting very close. Harry and I was talking about Trish not being here. I said, well, she's in the reserve today. She's doing it. He said, well, she's going to get a retirement. I said, yeah, but I'm hoping she doesn't get it. I want the rapture to take place. She can miss her. She can miss her retirement, okay? I'll deal my Social Security back. Come on. Let's get it over with. I'm ready to go up there. I don't want to just drop dead now. I want the rapture to take place. And I want to see everybody in here with me going up with a new body. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ that He was buried, crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead on the third day for your justification. And it's a done deal. Now, I'm going to leave you with that, but I'm going to tell you, Brother Richard Garvey's going to teach the first service next week. So be here so you can ask 1,000 questions. I'm just kidding. Y'all have a good day. Don't forget, if you haven't done it, go out and vote. Vote your convictions.